We're trying to finish up the book of Romans chapter 16, and it's going to take a couple of weeks, but at the end of Romans chapter 16, verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to you, to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you that it can come to life. We just thank you that through your words that you are speaking to us. You're speaking to each and every one of us individually. We just thank you for the power of the Word of God, that it can come alive, Lord. We just pray that you'll speak through me this morning. And we just thank you for this time that we can come and just study your word. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen. So here last week, we talked about the Apostle Paul and his gospel. It says, according to my gospel. We really studied that out and tied it in with the mystery. Here he says, according to the revelation of the mystery. The mystery was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest to his saints. So again, we had a secret that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And over these next couple weeks, we're going over a few of those things. Last week, we broke down the different Gospels. If you weren't here, it's online. You can go back to it and look at the different Gospels throughout the Word of God. Adam and Eve were saved differently than we are today. Moses, Abraham were saved differently than we are today. The kingdom is saved differently than we are in the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God. This morning we are going to look at the difference between the Apostle Paul and the 12 disciples and hopefully answer some of your questions. Should the Apostle Paul have been the 12th disciple? You know, who is this Paul? Where did he come from? So Paul, the Apostle, commonly known as St. Paul, he was also known as Saul of Tarsus. He was an apostle, and we'll look at that here shortly. He taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is generally considered one of the most important figures of the apostolic age. And in the mid-30s to the mid-50s, he founded several churches in Asia Minor and Europe. According to the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Paul was dedicated to persecuting the early disciples of Jesus Christ. We all know that. Paul was killing the Jews. He wanted to have nothing to do with it. He thought he was doing the right thing by killing the Jews. He was struck blind, as we read in our scripture reading. And that is when he becomes the Apostle Paul. Ananias gives him his sight back from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we begin to see what Paul's calling is about. A few things about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker. You know, when it came time for the youthful Paul to learn a trade, he learned how to make tents. Paul's native province of Cilicia was well known for producing and exporting a goat hair cloth sought after for making tents. The cloth was woven from the long hair of a peculiar breed of goats native to the area. Paul was just a couple of years younger than Jesus. Most of the scholars put the birth year of Paul between 2 to 6 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. So again, right around the same time about Jesus was born, he was. Paul wrote majority of the New Testament. He did it in the shortest period of time. He wrote more than half of the New Testament over a period of only 17 years. And about half of that was written over a period of 3 years, from 61 to 63 AD. During this time, he wrote Philemon, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Hebrews, 1 Timothy, and Titus. He wrote 4 of these letters in prison. So there's a few things about the Apostle Paul. Is the Apostle Paul important? Do we need to worry about him? Where has he come up? In the beginning of each and every book that the Apostle Paul wrote, you can look at Romans 1:1. And everything, first off, is God-breathed. Everything in the Word of God is directly from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ himself. In Romans 1:1, he says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle separated unto the gospel of God. He was called to be an apostle. If you go back to the Greek, it actually does not say called to be an apostle. It's called to be apostle. There's only one and only apostle. You can look at that at the beginning of each and every. Go over to 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. If you get time this afternoon, just go through each book. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Each and every book, he starts out the same. In Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. It was God's will to raise this man up. It was God's will to call the apostle Paul. And the other thing he begins with in each and every book, he says, grace be unto you. You can see it normally in verse 2 or verse 3 of each thing. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the difference between prophecy and mystery. Prophecy is things that are foretold. If the nation of Israel does not accept the kingdom program, and the nation of Israel will eventually in end times have an earthly physical kingdom. But throughout this time, if they reject it, the next thing that comes in is the tribulation period. If we go through the prophecy and we continue through prophecy, we have the 7 year of the tribulation period. And at that time, the Apostle Paul says, whoa, 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 I'm passing out grace and peace. We don't have to worry about the tribulation period right now. Again, this was a mystery. Nobody knew about this time. Nobody knew that after Jesus Christ died and that after the Apostle Paul would be raised up, that we would have this age of grace. But in this dispensation of the age of grace, we don't have to worry about the tribulation period. And in a few weeks, we'll talk about the rapture and when after the rapture, we jump into the tribulation period. But the Apostle Paul says that at the beginning of each and every one of his. Jump over to 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He was trying to tell them, hey, the tribulation period is not coming yet. We are in the age of grace. We have this dispensation of the grace of God. It was a secret that was kept since the beginning of the world. And now this is coming in effect. So we can see that the Apostle Paul is important. He was called to be an apostle. He was called to be the apostle for the age of grace by the will of God. A lot of people say, should the Apostle Paul been on the 12? Should he have been one of the 12? Look back with me at Acts chapter 1. And I think this is the best way to answer that question. But a lot of people say, well, the Apostle Paul should have been the 12 disciples. The 11 messed up. The 11 should have never done that. With Judas having betrayed Christ and then committed suicide, the 11 remaining disciples decided to replace Judas with a new 12th apostle. Number one, they had to do it immediately. If they knew what was coming, and they knew everything that was coming, they were ready to sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in this physical earthly kingdom. That is what they were ready to happen. If they only had 11, it messes up the whole prophecy. They had to do something, and they had to do something quick. So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 16. He says, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, and so much as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alkadema, that is to say, the field of blood. So again, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled. They were looking for the 12. They had to have 12. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Look at verse 21 and 22 with me. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So there's two important things to be a disciple. You had to follow Jesus Christ through his entire earthly ministry. Did Saul of Tarsus or the Apostle Paul ever fulfill that role? That's not an option. He didn't. You also had to be a witness of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul was not a witness of the resurrection. If anything, he was part of the crucifixion. He was there ready to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was not an option to be one of the 12. The next thing, oh, they cast lots, this and that. That was something they did in the Old Testament. You can go back to Proverbs and find that that was part of their calling. That's the way God answered their prayers. That's the way it worked. You would cast lots and you would get answers. My other opinion, they only had two choices. They had Matthias and they had Barsabas, which a lot of people believe is Barnabas. They only had two choices to choose from. Because, again, they had these prerequisites that were, okay, they had to follow Jesus Christ's earthly ministry all the way from the baptism of John, and they had to witness with us his resurrection. Number one, they only had a 50-50 chance. Number two, I don't think it really mattered which one they chose. But I do believe God chose who was supposed to be there, and the Apostle Paul was not even an option. So as we continue on, so we know now the Apostle Paul should have not been one of the 12. The Apostle Paul was set aside. He was a chosen vessel to go bear Jesus Christ's name to the Gentiles. We're going to look and do a little comparison between the 12 and the Apostle Paul. The 12 were chosen by Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 13. Luke chapter 6, verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles: Simon and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor. Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, chose the 12 disciples, while he was physically on earth. The Apostle Paul was later chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ while he was in heaven. And look back with me to Acts chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is now chosen. He was blinded by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 3, he was continuing on his day. He was continuing on his way to put people in prison, to bound them, take them back to Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, and it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The Lord Jesus Christ chose him from heaven. You can see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8. 15, verse 8 just says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." He was seen of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was chosen while Jesus Christ was in the heavenlies. He was chosen for the mystery program, for the dispensation of the age of grace, for the grace of God to reveal this program. The other comparison we can see is that the 12 represented their own nation. The 12 are only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look back with me to Matthew. Jump with me back to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, he says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth." Again, the 12 that he had chosen, he tells them and says, "commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles." At this time during the kingdom program, and we can dig into dispensational teaching, and in the dispensation of the kingdom program, the nation of Israel was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that a Gentile could be a part of that is if they became a proselyte. And you can see that in the book of Acts as well. But they had to become a proselyte to become a part of that nation of Israel. He tells them not to go into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The only thing the 12 ever preached is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be water baptized and repent for salvation. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. They were going to sit on the 12 thrones in this kingdom. They were not to go to the Gentiles. You can jump over here to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, look at Romans 12, 5. Start there. So the 12 were sent to the nation of Israel as the nation as a whole. The Apostle Paul is sent to the body of Christ. We are no longer trying to build the kingdom. We are no longer a part of that kingdom. Yes, that kingdom will come after the rapture occurs and we go through the 7-year tribulation period. There will be a physical earthly kingdom built. But we are all in the heavenlies. Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Again, we are one body. It's the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians 4, 4 says, there is one body, one spirit of it, even as ye are called and one hope of your calling. There is one body. Ephesians 2, 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The body of Christ was a mystery. The body of Christ was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. You can't go back to the Old Testament. You can't go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all you hear about is the kingdom. The Apostle Paul is the only one that brings out the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul is the only one that brings out the rapture. The Apostle Paul is the only one that brings out the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. The 12 explain that Jesus Christ explains to the 12 that he's going to die on the cross, but they never believe him. The Apostle Paul is the only one that reveals the body of Christ, and that's why it's a mystery. You can also see that the apostle, like I said, so the 12 are sent to the nation of Israel. The Apostle Paul is sent to the Gentiles. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. So at this time in Galatians, after the Apostle Paul is saved, after he is blinded, he doesn't go to the 12 to get his information. He doesn't go to the 12 and say, teach me what you know. He could have went to the 12 and said, okay, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What do I need to do? If you look in Galatians chapter 1, verse 17, he even tells, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into the Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He went out on his own. Everything he learned from the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So after him being gone for 3 years, he learns all about the age of grace. He learns all about the dispensation of the grace of God. He learns about the death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. He learns about the rapture. He learns that we have spiritual blessings, that the nation of Israel has physical blessings. He learns all this stuff. And then he comes back to the apostle, or he comes back to the 12 disciples. You can look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. Peter and Paul start having this discussion. And if I was Peter, I'd be pretty upset. After all this time, Saul is out there killing the Jews. Everything that I'm trying to do, he's over here destroying it. And then all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ saves the Apostle Paul and says, hey, he is the apostle for the Gentiles, for the body of Christ. He is a chosen one as well. So they get together for 15 days is what it says in Galatians chapter 1. They get together in Galatians chapter 2, verses 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, which is the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision, which is the nation of Israel. So they spend 15 days together. The Apostle Paul says, hey, I learned all this stuff from the Lord Jesus Christ. He told me that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we put our faith and trust in that, we can have eternal life. And the only thing Peter knows is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is waiting for the kingdom to be set up. And finally, they say, forget it. You go your way, I'll go my way. I don't know if Peter and Paul ever agreed. I don't know if they ever, they had this discussion and they just went different ways. But a couple things we can learn here, and I talked about it last week, is there's more than one gospel in the Word of God. Peter taught the gospel of the circumcision. Paul taught the gospel of the uncircumcision. We have two different gospels. We need to understand the mystery. We need to understand the difference between prophecy and mystery. The Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles. And there's more and more passages. You can see it in Acts chapter 9, 15. I don't want to go to them all, but I read that in scripture reading. But if you write down Acts chapter 9, 15, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Before the Apostle Paul, Peter and the 12 could not go to the Gentiles. They only went to the nation of Israel. If you continue on here in Acts chapter 11, it's when Peter starts having his dream. And the Lord Jesus Christ saying, now that Paul's saved, now that all this has happened, now that I died on the cross, you can eat with the Gentiles now. Peter has a hard time with that dream. He has to have it three times to almost agree with it. He never fully agrees with it. The next comparison, the 12 were sent to proclaim Christ's kingdom at hand. So the whole time that the 12 are on earth, look at Matthew chapter 3. And you can find this in every gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can find this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. He says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can jump over to 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus and the 12 were preaching the same message. They're preaching that this kingdom of heaven, which just means it's at hand, if you will agree and if you will accept me as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But he would have brought the kingdom in, but they never accepted it. I don't want to dig into it a whole lot, but in Acts chapter 8, the stoning of Stephen, that is the final straw for the nation of Israel. They reject the Holy Spirit, and he says, I am done with the nation of Israel. You don't accept this kingdom. You don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Lo, I turn away from you, and I go to the Gentiles. And when I talk about the Gentiles, the body of Christ, that is for everyone. There is no Jew or Gentile. There is no male or female. It's all one, the body of Christ. There's no chosen nation anymore. There will be after the rapture occurs. So the 12 were sent to proclaim Christ's kingdom. The Apostle Paul was sent to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. You can see that throughout Paul's scriptures. Is that if you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We are in the age of grace. All we have to do today is put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, and we will have eternal life. You may ask, what is faith? Faith is just believing, taking God at his word and saying, I believe what you put in here. We may not fully understand the entire thing. There's a lot of things that I can't comprehend. There's a lot of things that I'm... There's certain things that I may be preaching wrong from up here. But again, the most important thing, and that's why I started with the comparison of the Gospels last week, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to study the Word of God, but that is the only thing that truly matters. The ministry of the 12 disciples was based on covenant promises. They were given multiple promises. And all that will come back after the rapture, after the tribulation. All those covenant promises will come back. Paul's ministry was not based on covenant promises, but again, on the grace of God through Jesus Christ. The nation of Israel will have a literal earthly kingdom. I should have brought my chart today, but there's a chart. The prophetic program builds a physical earthly kingdom. Everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is talking about an earthly kingdom. When the Apostle Paul gets saved, he begins to talk about the body of Christ. Everything for us is in the heavens, in the heavenlies. And you may be sitting out there today, just to wrap this all up, and say, why does it matter? A lot of churches teach that the death, burial, and resurrection. So why does it matter if I have to understand all this? And I'm sure a lot of churches are preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. But if somebody begins to dive deep into the Word of God and try to fully understand it and try to fully comprehend it, 2 Timothy 2:15 it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. It's my job to study the Word of God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we don't rightly divide the word of truth, throughout Scripture there was times that you could lose your salvation. Throughout Scripture there was times that you could pick up snakes and be healed from it. There was times that you could heal the sick. There was times that you could cast out demons. But all that is done away with in this day and age. Yes, you may put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection, but your faith is going to struggle if you begin to dive into the Word of God and not fully understand what Jesus Christ's plan laid out for you. He had a plan from the beginning to the end. This was not all made up. It didn't accidentally fall into place, but He had a plan. In conclusion, look at 1 Corinthians 5:16. Actually, 4:16. 1 Corinthians 4:16. The Apostle Paul here says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Again, if we go back to the 12 and begin to try to imitate exactly what the 12 did, our faith is going to struggle. We are going to lack in different areas. Next couple weeks, we'll talk about the Great Commission. I believe the Great Commission is for the nation of Israel. I don't believe it's for us today. We're going to look at that and dive into that. But the Apostle Paul says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. We need to follow the Apostle Paul the way that he follows Jesus Christ. Because that's what he calls us to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ had to keep this whole program, this dispensation of the age of grace, here in the middle of this entire time, a secret, was because if he had let the 12 know that through his death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that it would bring salvation to the entire world, they would have never crucified him. Satan himself would have not crucified the Lord of glory. For 3 days, Satan thought he had won. Satan said, I have victory. It's over. I am done. And the Lord Jesus Christ pulled a trick out of his sleeve and said, you don't understand what you just did. I had a secret, this mystery that is revealed to the Apostle Paul, that through the death, burial, and resurrection, we can have salvation to all mankind, that the rapture is a part of it, the body of Christ is a part of it, the nation of Israel is no longer a chosen nation. There's so many things that tie back to the mystery of the age of grace. For 1 Timothy 1:16, the Apostle Paul says the same thing. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy that in me first. How can the Apostle Paul says that in me first that I obtained mercy? The 12 obtained mercy. He's saying first in the age of grace. First in the dispensation of the age of grace. That through the death, burial, and resurrection, we can have salvation. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which he should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The Apostle Paul is our pattern. Yes, if you're four, many times it's a hard thing for us to trace and cut out and follow that pattern. But as we grow and mature, we need to learn what a pattern is and we need to follow it to a T. The Apostle Paul is our pattern and we need to follow him and learn from him. And what is written from Philemon to Romans is written directly to the body of Christ. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you what we can learn and grow. We just thank you that you had a plan, that you kept this a secret. Because if you would have revealed your plan from the beginning, Satan would have went a different route. But you had to have that ultimate sacrifice. You had to have that final sacrifice, that when your Son went to the cross of Calvary, that it paid for all of our sins. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, you could raise up Paul and say, hey, through the death, burial, and resurrection, we can have eternal life. We just thank you and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.